Hey, thank you all for coming. I'd like to point out I'm currently a postdoc at Texas A&M with Mickey Eubanks, and this work was all done as part of my dissertation at Maryland. So the morphology of feeding apparatus can be used to predict and to understand an animal's resource use and ecology. And Darwin's finches are a classic example of how animals with different shaped mouth parts use different resources from different parts of the environment. And so when animals have broad versus narrow resource use, this often represents a trade-off between feeding efficiency and the amount of resources that are available to them. So for instance, if you take an eye-biter fish, they may be very efficient at eating eyeballs, but since there's only two per fish, they've got a limited resource pool compared to fish eaters, which may be, they have plenty of resources to choose from, but may not eat eyeballs very well. And so when predators adopt an omnivorous lifestyle, there's often morphological requirements or changes required in their feeding morphology to help accommodate plant versus animal material. And so this is an example from lacerated lizards, which are typically carnivorous and have these pointed teeth for gripping crickets and things of that nature. But some of the omnivorous species then start to get these broader, flattened teeth with cusps for grinding plant material. And so changes, morphological adaptations to accommodate the tougher lignans and things in plant material often require these morphological changes, which may reduce a predator's foraging efficiency on prey. So my main interest was how do morphological changes or morphological differences between omnivores and carnivores affect their efficiency as predators. And I used carabid beetles as a study system. You have omnivores and carnivores that are closely related within the same subfamily. And the omnivores in this case consume prey such as caterpillars, but also seeds that are abundant in the field. So my objectives were to determine if omnivorous and carnivorous carabid species can be differentiated based solely on their mandible morphology. And second, if the dimensions of those mandible characteristics differ between, if the important characteristics differ between the two guilds. And finally, I look at how differences in morphology affect the feeding performance of these animals and their ability to capture, kill, and consume caterpillar prey. So I'll start with the first two, which investigate the morphology of the mandibles. I measured 7 mandibular characteristics on 13 carabid species, and this comprised 8 omnivorous species and 5 carnivorous species, and I measured 5 individuals of each. These are the 7 characteristics that I measured. You can see outlined in white. I want to point out in particular, there's 3 characteristics that are most important in prey processing, and so I focus on these for the rest of the talk. And this is the incisor width, which is the tip of the mandible, which is used for piercing and grabbing prey. The molar width, this area here, which is like the molar cusp used for grinding and crushing, and the terebral ridge, which is the knife-like cutting area of the mandible, which is used for slicing prey. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. This is the results of a redundancy analysis, principal components by plot, but I just want to point out that the red triangles are carnivores, which are clustered on this portion of the graph in relation to a long terebral ridge. And this is, again, the knife-like cutting area of the mandible, whereas the circles, which are the omnivores, are clustered towards the upper region in relation to associated with wide molar regions and wide incisor tips. And a Monte Carlo test indicated that these guilds can be significantly differentiated based on the mandibular features that I measured. So more quantitatively, I've measured For the next couple graphs, on the y-axis is the length of the feature that I'm measuring, and omnivores are in black and carnivores are in gray. And the cerebral ridge, this cutting edge, you can see is significantly longer in the carnivorous mandibles than in the omnivore mandibles. And the incisor, this piercing tip, you can see omnivores have a broad tip, whereas carnivores have a sharp piercing tip. And the molar region, as you would expect in seed feeders, is wide in the omnivores and narrow in the carnivores. And so we've established that there's morphological differences between the two guilds, which could affect their feeding efficiency with high-quality prey. So my next objective then was to look at the capture success, kill time, and consumption time, and whether these differ between the omnivores and carnivores, which have different mandible morphology. So I used two species within each guild to run these experiments to help increase the scope of inference here, two carnivores and two omnivores. And I also tested their feeding performance with two different prey types, an active green clover worm, which thrashes vigorously when it's attacked, and a black cutworm, which is fairly passive when it's attacked and just sort of rolls over and dies. So this gives us two measures of how well they can capture and handle these prey. So in a 2x2 factorial, I compared omnivores and carnivores against active and passive prey, measuring the number of attacks required before they actually captured the prey, and then the time it took to kill the animal, and the time it ultimately took to consume it. So the next couple of graphs, the y-axis will be a measure of the performance, in this case the number of attacks that were required before the prey was actually captured. And again, omnivores are on the left here and carnivores are on your right. And so the overall guild effect, the main effect of guild, is on the borderline here, but the general trend is that carnivores require fewer attacks to capture prey than do omnivores. And so the time from when the prey is captured to when the prey dies is significantly shorter when carnivores are doing the work than when omnivores. And again, carnivores have this sharp slicing edge which more quickly pierces the prey and releases its internal fluids. And finally, once the prey is dead, it takes carnivores significantly less time to consume that caterpillar than does omnivores, which have these wider teeth which can crush up the prey, but they're not as good at slicing into manageable size pieces. And I've focused on the guild effect. That was the primary interest, is to look at differences between guilds. But the trend is very similar between the two prey types. So with mandibular morphology adapted to consume seeds and prey, omnivorous predators capture, kill, and consume prey less efficiently than the carnivores do. And so the omnivores do experience a trade-off where their mandibles give them access to abundant seed resources in the field, but these resources are of lower quality than the prey that strict carnivores consume regularly. And so the consequences of mandibular morphology then on trophic dynamics, omnivores may reduce herbivore populations more slowly, simply because they feed more slowly. And this could also reduce the subset of herbivores that are susceptible to omnivore predation because they may only handle the smaller or less mobile herbivores. And omnivores may prefer easy to capture seeds and small prey than the damaging herbivores in a system. And so with that, I'd like to thank the following people, and I'll take any questions. Yes.
Did you control for mandible wear during your morphological study?
For mandible,
mandible wear, like, you know, mandibles like got to work.
I did. The question was whether I controlled for mandible wear within the study. I did not control for mandible wear, but I selected animals that had, you know, intact mandibles, and with the multiple replicates, I don't think it was an issue. Thank you.